I called him his grandpa.
I've been worse.
I've had Carl Calhoun. He's come to camp meeting for years, but this is his son, I mean grandson, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got that work. I'm trying to.
If that's all I got to worry about, we're good. Yeah. Yeah. If that's all I got to worry about today, I'll be all right. I promise you. Genesis 45. I'm doing something a little taboo this morning that most preachers would not dare do. I'm preaching a message that I preached before. And it ain't just that I preached it before. It's that I preached it here. But you ain't going to remember it. And you probably won't remember it after today. But it's in my heart and to share these thoughts, and it's been that way for a little while. And I appreciate Brother Stacy's preaching. I appreciate these grounds. I appreciate Brother Steve, all those, Brother Fox, everybody that has a part in these services. And we've ate well, and they took care of us. What a blessing. It's good to see friends and all that, all those things, and it's a blessing. And I want to preach on forgiveness this morning, if you'd let me. Preach on forgiveness. We've been reminded a lot in these services, especially with Brother Scott Moneyham the past two nights. Thank God for the forgiveness of our Savior. Every one of us in here ought to be thankful that God does forgive. I mean, every one of us. We wouldn't be here without His forgiveness. And I'm glad I don't have to fret about that. I'm glad I know it's done. It's finished. He's forgiven me. But it ain't His forgiveness that sometimes I get overly concerned about. I'm glad it's there. I want to be forgiven. I know it's there, but I don't want to take advantage of that. Amen. But it's the forgiveness that we have amongst one another and our lack thereof. And there's a lot of, for lack of better words, put on sometimes. And smiles and shaking hands and hugging necks. And rooted deep inside of us, sometimes there's some feelings that we really don't want to express. Some things we don't want to acknowledge. So Genesis 45, let's read these verses real quickly if you would, and I'll be brief and I'm going to watch the light and run. The Bible says in verse number 1 that Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. The Bible said he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. We'd all say amen to that. And that Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Goes on down to verse number 14 and 15. The scripture said, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. I want to finish reading there for a minute. Now turn quickly to some other places, but I do know the Bible teaches us this morning in Ephesians 4 that we should be kind one to another. And it said to be tenderhearted. Amen. And it said forgiving one another. It said even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I'm grateful that we can rest in that, but that forgiving one another. Now, there's some things when I said I preached this earlier years ago, there were some things that I preached on that I preached because they were truth. There's no doubt they were right. I mean, they were true. There was no problem in preaching it, but the problem that I had, and it's a young preacher, is the fact that there's some things that I preached that I just had not experienced. There's some things that I preached and some paths that I had not been on. There's some places that I had not been that I could preach forgiveness, but I had not been hurt. There's some things that I preached and I could preach about how people should forgive, But I hadn't seen my children hurt. I hadn't seen my wife's guts hurt. I hadn't seen my wife crying. I hadn't been served at those in the church and been stabbed by the same ones. I hadn't been in places, my friend, where there's been pain that sits in my mind, in my heart, and I preached forgiveness, and I preached how to do it like Christ did, until that pain became real in my soul. I had a problem with forgiveness. Now, this morning, I knew coming in it wasn't going to be a chandelier swinger here, but I want to try to help us and do what I can, because if anybody had a reason not to forgive in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus, Joseph had every reason not to forgive his family. Now, forgiveness, let me say this. Forgiveness is not saying I forgive you and then seeing somebody in the supermarket and deciding you don't need the milk and go down the next aisle to keep from walking down the same aisle as they are. Or out across in the street a block ahead to keep from, I ain't saying you got to grill hamburgers with everybody, but hey, you can't just avoid everybody all your life. You do that, you'll end up by yourself. And to continually rubbing the soul and scratching the scab and not letting it go, learn to let some of that stuff go in your life, or it's going to kill you inwardly. Now, he that does not forgive, one that's not willing to forgive, we certainly forsake the spirit in which our gospel was given to you and I. To know that our Lord cried on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we were not willing to forgive, we forsake the very spirit of the gospel in which we preach and live. We are subject to lose the joy that we're supposed to have when we fail to forgive those that may have crossed us, that may have cut us, or criticized us. Oh, none of us in here like to be criticized. Oh, but my friend, we lose the joy of salvation. We lack the very evidence that we have been saved if we're not willing to forgive one another. It's easier preaching. I'm not saying I mastered it. Today I'm okay. Tomorrow I may not be. I want to do better, but there's sometimes it just, the pain gets deep. It gets hard. It hurts. You may hide it well, but you automatically, when I talked about forgiveness, I promise you, your mind went to a place of where that pain still resonates. It's still there. And though you've tried to put it on the back burner, it still festers up in your life from time to time. It wasn't but a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, and I got to hurry that my brother, we got different dads, and you know how that is when you have their steps and halves and holes and ins and outs. One day you can, the next day you ain't. It's just like a circus sometimes. But his daddy was dying, which might have been my stepdaddy. And there was places in life growing up where he had smoked dope and they had partied. And there's some things that took place between him and my mom. And they'd been divorced for some 25 years now. But he called me, said, Dad's dying. And I said, well, I'll go with you if you want to. Their relationship's been estranged, and they've had a problem. And I said, I'll go with you if I want to, being the preacher, being his brother. I said, I'll go with you. But when I walked in that room, what I thought had been put behind me was flashing before me. Words that I remember, sights and scenes that I remember going before me, they begin to replay in my mind. I walked in the door, he's sucking oxygen and trying to get wind, and he sees me and he says, Brian, he said, I'm dying. I said, you sure are. And I promise you, there was a spirit in me that I felt that it was not God. Part of me wanted to say, you're getting what you deserve. So I wouldn't admit that. Well, you'll get your chance in a little while, maybe. But however, the Holy Ghost did say you got a choice. You can either try to tell him how to live or just say you're going to die. I crawled up in the bed with that man. A man that I've seen sling my mama across the floor. and said, "Mike, you are dying, but I want to tell you how to live." He didn't come to, he went on out. He was in and out, and I don't know whether he heard anything, but after he died, and the family knew I'd worked at the funeral home, and after he died, they asked me crying out loud, to come in and help to clean him up and dress him, to prepare him for the funeral home. I had to look at that man, and I had to dress him and prepare him and clean him and do things. I thought, God, why? It's easy to preach. I just soon wrapped him up in a sheet and waited on the funeral home to come. But that's not forgiveness. Joseph is in that place where his family, they had forsaken him. They had got him, they forsook him because of his conduct. He didn't act like them. His brothers, verse chapter 37, he brought his father evil report. His conduct was different from them. See, there's some people you're going to get hurt by that they just don't like you because your conduct's just different. You young people, listen to me. I don't care what the other brothers and sisters in the family are doing. You don't have to do what everybody else does. They may do. Hey, they may forsake you, but you do what's right. You don't have to go down the same line. You don't have to be the drunkard. You don't have to be the you don't have to be that one that's doing the evil. They were forsaking him because of his coat. His daddy had given him a coat. We know the story. Kind of giving him preeminence, giving him authority, giving him control. It would be the executor of the estate in charge of the will, if you may. You want to see something that will divide some families? There's some here you tore up now. Your family's divided now over grandma's will. Honey, I worked in a funeral home. I know what it is to see them fight over a peace lily. Key word being peace. Hey, there's some that it's just simply the character, the coat that you have, and the closeness that he had with God. He walked with God. He had dreams. God had a purpose for his life. And there's some, you may not admit it, they'll get upset with you because you walk with God and he's helping you and blessing you in a mighty way. And they'll reject you and despise you and forsake you. It's a hard thing to do in the Baptist church. As a church you preach and God blesses your ministry, you're a compromiser. You don't have nobody come, you're legalistic. You can't get anywhere. A lot of it's just downright rotten jealousy. Slap tore up because God's using somebody in a way and you got feelings towards somebody that you ought not have just because God's hand's on them and it's not on you. Like that. There's that for sale sign they put on him. They said, "Hey, we'll get together. We'll strip him of his righteousness. We'll demote him." Tore that coat off of him. They conspired. They just sang that song. The father was excited about seeing the son come home. These brothers weren't excited about seeing Joseph come walking down the trail at Dothan. There's some good going to be glad to see. There's some ain't. They want to strip him. They wanted to demote him. They wanted simply to deprive him. They shoved him in a hole. Shoved him in that pit. I know there's all that problem. I understand all that, but at the time, Joseph couldn't look back on this. He was just seeing it. He couldn't understand the issue with his brothers. And there's some things that you think that there's the roughest days of your life. You can't see the big picture. But oh no, they simply shoved him in a pit. And just like a solid camp means, they went and break bread. There's been a lot of good meetings ruined at the dining hall table. We want God to help us, but yet we're shoving our brethren in the pit. We're running them down. We're beating them down. I said, hey, we just go, we don't care what happens, and we'll get our little cliques together and our little people together and we'll get our little bunch together and we'll run down that brethren. He sure hurts. I'm going to say I've been there, I've done that. And it's been done to me. I was sitting beside two ladies in a lunch, in a hotel one time at a breakfast, and they was wearing me out. They didn't even know who I was. I was sitting right beside them, Brother Fox. Did you know? And I was like, oh, I'm like, hey. I just sit there and listen. So y'all know more than I do. Oh, my. Brother Steve helped me years ago. He told me one time I was going through a dark place in my life, ministry. I wept on him. I said, I don't know what to do. And just a simple phrase, he said, just always take the high road. Me and my wife got a phrase that we use sometimes. There's a little old lady, granny, down our way that her children, she'll pop them. That's why she slaps them. I said, you're going to get Joanne here in a minute. There's a lot of times I'd rather Joanne somebody than say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He said, we'll get rid of him. We'll deport him. We'll just get him out of the family. We'll just sell him out. But chapter 45, where I want to finish, I want to talk about the forgiveness of Joseph. I want to talk about the person that made the first move. All his brothers come to him. Oh, they were hungry. It wasn't because they was wanting forgiveness. They had no idea who he was. They had no idea what ever become of him. You ever thought people in your life never would show back up, and all of a sudden you said, hey, I wouldn't ever speak. I don't care if I ever cross your path again. That's just the person that God lets cross your path. That's him. I promise you, you're going to wash some feet of some people that's going to do you wrong. I've never been betrayed by an enemy. But them family and friends, as you see some fade in and some fade out, God has a way of doing that. It hurts. But Joseph, he said, brother, come near to me. It ain't about who's right and who's wrong. It's about him saying, I'm not willing to let this keep going on. You mean more to me than the feeling we have between one another. I've said where you said, and I've amened it to myself. I said, what else could preaching? Until I had to come across it. So, but God, I didn't do it. He said, I didn't do what they accused me of. They nailed me to the cross. I was innocent.
Yeah.
Peace. It was the person who made the first move. It's not easy. It's about character. And God, I encourage you this morning to not let things just fester up. It's easier to put out a fire when it's a brush fire rather when it's just burning a whole forest. If you don't put it out, by the time it gets to where it's time to put it out, Sean, there's some done let it go. They like flaming it. There's the passion that he said, forgive me. The Bible said that he wept. He wept on them. We live in a dry church age. We live in a time where the church is just dry. Our eyes are dry. He said he wept. Me and my brother used to fight. Still would if I wouldn't run out of breath. But every once in a while, Mama would say sorry. I said, sorry. She'd say, no, say it like you mean it. I'm sorry. She still wasn't convinced. She'd say, now hug him. And tell him you love him and tell him you're sorry. If there's anything I want to do, it wouldn't hug him. Oh, we'd begin to hug, and next thing you know, we're wrestling again. You know what help a lot of meetings? Help our churches, help some of our families. If we just lay everything down for a few minutes every now and then, just go, I do love you. And I mean that. I mean that. And know when they walk away, you ain't doing it just because it was the right time to be seen to do it. But because when you walk away, you mean exactly what you said, and everything's said and done. You ain't got to rehash the past. Let it go. Start afresh. The Lord doesn't throw up everything in my face every time I go to Him. There's a peace that He brought His family. His daddy dies. His brother said, oh, Joseph's going to get us now. Daddy's dead. He's going to come. That ain't forgiveness. He said, oh, no, boys. He said, I gave you a lasting forgiveness. It's loaded. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your family. Hey, I'm telling you, when we need to learn how to forgive right. See, it's real simple. I understand. Listen, I mean, you get married, you better learn to forgive. I've had to forgive my wife so many times. She's never had to forgive me, have you, Rob? I should have stopped at the point I was on. Brother, listen, from the depths of my heart this morning with all seriousness, I can flat-footedly for right now in my life and say I don't have it all against not wanting the brethren. I don't have a hard feeling. I hadn't always been able to say that. But I'm going to tell you, I love you. Your preaching has helped me. If God knows if I've done anything to you, if you'll man up and just say, hey, come to me, I'll be glad to try to settle it. Because God, I won't be used. I want His hand on me. I want His hand on me. And Joseph had been forgiven. Because the Bible said the Lord was with him.